Monday edition. The post-NFL draft edition. Did anyone else hear Goody say we always want to be green and growing and start thinking and humming along to Justin Garcia's walk-up music as he did it? Because I did. Edition. The who is your favorite pick of the Packers 2024 draft class? Which player do you think will have the most immediate impact out of the draft class? And who is your one player you wanted that the Packers didn't get? Edition. I'm Wildy and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaverdame. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you could possibly want or need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. He has not been ejected like Bobby Portis was last night from his undisclosed location. He's our Giannis. He's our Dame. Can't win without him. Although we certainly have shows without him. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I am great. What a fun weekend. I'm struggling a little bit to recover from the late nights at Lambeau. And not thank you for your service. It's just, I don't rebound as well from late nights as I once did. You know, back when I was, you know, young and running the streets of West Allis or Madison or Green Bay, I feel like I recovered the next day better. I still haven't gotten caught up on sleep, so I'm a little grumpy and a little tired.
Okay.
So I'll try to
be grumpy.
That's exactly what I was looking for, Jesse. Good work. Yeah, it was good. I mean, there were some late nights. I think I left Lambeau about close to 1 o'clock on Friday night. Thursday night, I left around 12:30, and then Saturday night, I think I got out of there early. I think I got out of there like 11:15, 11:30. But it was good. I get to now tell 11 new stories. There's some really good stories among these 11 picks, and it certainly appears that there's some pretty darn good football players in that group as well. How did you feel about the draft weekend?
So, obviously, we had the show Friday, and I was happy with the pick of Jordan Morgan. And then we all just kind of assumed that we'd get old boy DeGene from Iowa. And then when it got to that point, you kind of thought, all right. And then Philadelphia swoops in, takes him, and then Goody, I believe, traded out, right? He traded down a few spots.
So, I do think this is important because I was talking to Strolf and I can't remember. I talked to so many people over the weekend. Jesse, you and I and Strolf talked on Saturday, right?
Correct. Yeah, we had the Saturday special.
So on Friday, I was telling Strolf, and I think maybe Joshy was doing it. Great work by our team. 3 days of wall-to-wall draft coverage, and it takes a village to cover the draft, and everyone who was part of our ESPN Wisconsin coverage did an awesome job. But I was saying when I went on after the second-round picks were made that the number one question I had for Goody was, did you make the trade with the Saints at number 41 to move back after you saw Cooper DeGene had gone? And according
to
Goody,
great question. He's
thank
not
you.
Going to tell you the truth.
I that's why I preface this by saying, according to Goody, which is all I could go on, is how he answered the question. No. They had actually agreed to that trade before the Eagles even traded up to 40 to take Cooper DeGene. Now, whether you believe that or not is up to you. With the 41st pick then, the Saints took Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama who came in for a pre-draft visit to Green Bay. Packers ended up not taking a corner until the last pick of their draft. And I'm glad you brought this up. And I hate to steal your thunder. But I was pretty pissed off when I talked to Jesse and Strolf on Saturday morning. Because I'd gotten what I always enjoy, that social media blowback from some people, for suggesting on Friday night's show, hey, we're going to be paying attention to what Cooper DeGene does. it won't be as intense as it was with T.J. Watt vis-a-vis Kevin King. But if he picks sixes Jordan Love in Brazil, I think we're all going to say, hey, that was a guy that the Packers could have drafted had they wanted to make sure they got in front of the Eagles or whatever it might have been. And, oh, Wilde found a way to criticize Goody anyway. No. If he picked the right guys, it won't matter what Cooper DeJean does. And as we've said many times, the flaw in 2017 was that the Packers mis-evaluated T.J. Watt. I mean, how many times I said this?
If Cooper DeJean is a really good player, they've misidentified it again.
Right!
So it's not... So this isn't the case of, oh, the Eagles came in and got
us. No!
I actually believe Goody because he was valued, or at least mocked, in that, you know, late first.
Yep.
And if Brian Gutekunst thought he was going to be a monster difference maker, he would have drafted him.
No doubt.
And the fact that he didn't, and I think the fact that he knew he could get Edgerrin Cooper, who I think he really likes, and who, to answer your first question, whenever we do that, that's going to be my answer, because he is going to be in the mix immediately. He valued Edgerrin Cooper more than he valued Cooper DeJean, so yes, he's an Iowa guy. He's a white defensive back. And if he is a great player, I think people are going, Green Bay is going to take notice. If he has an interception against Jordan Love in Sao Paulo, I'm telling you right now, Twitter will implode. It is going to implode. So for everyone that was critiquing you and giving you grief, I hope we don't find out. But that Friday night in Sao Paulo, if he makes a big play, we're going to find out.
They got guys that they need. And look, on the cornerback thing, one last point. And you obviously follow the Big Ten very closely as the color analyst for the Badgers Radio Network with our friend Matt LePay. Kalen King, their last seventh round pick. And I'm not saying he's going to be Mark Tauscher. I'm not saying he's going to be Donald Driver. I'm not saying he's going to be Adam Timmerman. I'm not even saying he's going to be Carrington Valentine. But after his sophomore year in Happy Valley in 2022, he looked like he was going to be a first-round pick. He had the third most pass breakups of any player in a Power 5 in FBS. He had three interceptions. He was a lockdown corner for the Nittany Lions. Last year, Maserati got him pretty good. He finished with no picks and two pass breakups. And he was, Tausch, as emotional on our call with him as I can remember a guy being. Not like overcome with the emotion of joy of being picked, because there's been plenty of guys that have, you know, gotten teary-eyed and gotten emotional that way. Like, he was emotional and a little bit verklempt because he was so pissed. Because he thought he was way better than a seventh-round pick, and he said that chip is on his shoulder immediately, and we'll see if that actually leads to something. But you were talking last week, we had fun with it, about Mel Kiper, and I went back while I was in my office at Lambeau, and I got the Joel Buxbaum breakdown of one Mark Tauscher, which I will share later. You were in his book, too, so you were legit. But if that chip on his shoulder makes Kalen King a really good corner, and down the road you're able to pair him and Carrington Valentine when you move on from Jair or you move on from Eric Stokes or both, hey, great. It would certainly lessen any of the focus that we would put on Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Why did he drop so much?
He did not have a good junior year. I think he was second team all Big Ten anyway, but he, you know, basically his quote, I don't know why I dropped so much. Well, you went from 21 pass breakups to two for one. And, you know, Goody, who I asked about King too, basically said, look, I love the fact that he's that motivated. He's got to come in here and do it. But I do think he is a, if he is as motivated as he indicated to us and thinks he's way better than how he was graded, Goody's quote was, great, then we got a steal at the end of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so that those are, and you know, we were talking about this before the draft and even on Friday,
Hey, man, that day three is when you get some really good football players, not just the one that hosts the show. Lots and lots and lots of them. And, you know, they got Jacob Monk, the guy who actually did play center at Duke. Listening to them talk about him, they were talking about him in some of the same reverential tones that I've heard guys like you and Corey Linsley, guys that they thought, all right, we got this guy. This guy's a steal. People were sleeping on him, and we got him. And so I that is on my list of guys that I'm very eager to see, because you wanted their center of the future. I think he's it. And I think it'll be really interesting if he can come
that
in. And, yeah, see, I'm trying to be more like Domofsky. You're in my head now, too.
Domofsky.
But I if they, I don't know if he's going to beat him out immediately, but if he's the heir apparent to Josh Myers, he's got more Corey Linsley to him than Josh Myers did, even though Josh Myers wore the same number and played at the same school as Corey did.
Well, so I think what was great, and again, Friday, you know, the way the board shook out and the positions that they drafted, Goody, I'm not the guy to give out grades, but when you look at value, position, and what he's looking at, if Goody gets, what, two starters out of this group and three or four really core players, I think you look at this draft as a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Or not a home run, a double. I don't want to get crazy. You don't need this to be last year's draft. It'd be awesome if it is. And I have to admit, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Is that, what did we start with when we came in here?
13. Draft 13.
So it was, he was supposed to draft 13 guys. He ended up with 11. I think we thought he was not going to go that deep. But the amount of talent, and especially those first four, I don't know a ton about Hopper or Hooper Hopper. We'll
Hopper.
Have to look.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to fit. If he's going to, I would think he'll compete right away with Cooper. But it just feels like that's the guy that I think impact wise is going to make the biggest spot, him or Bullard. But I think it's going to be Cooper.
So among the many things that I want to get into today is, and we talked about it leading into the draft, I made a big deal out of it because Goody has been, you know, and you've said this many times, and once again, you're right, that it's a young man's game. But he told us, right, he showed us his cards before the draft. And we thought maybe it was subterfuge, but he told us, I want to get 13, 14 picks. He was up to 13 before he used two of them to move up to get specific guys, one of which was Evan Williams, the safety from Oregon. But when he says this about competition, they drafted three safeties. So they are totally remaking that position. And while Bullard is obviously the second-round pick and the logical odds-on favorite to be your starter alongside Xavier McKinney, who now everyone's just calling him X, I would say that the fact that you drafted three guys at the same position, the fact that you drafted two fast-flowing linebackers in the second and third round, tells me that you're serious about competition, that you're not just paying it lip service, and let the best man win, right? Isn't that the same vibe you get from what Goody's trying to do here?
Absolutely. I think we always hear people say it's going to be about competition. We want a competitive room, and everybody does. But again, you're allowed to do that when you don't have guys paid. When you haven't paid guys, all of this isn't lip service. Because you could say, well, you know, Jacob Monk's going to come in and compete, and he might take Elton Jenkins' spot. No, he's not. Elton Jenkins, A, he's a good player, and B, he's
right.
Getting paid a big chunk. He's going to play. Just like you could say, well, maybe Lloyd's going to come in and take Jacob's spot. Not this year, he's not. Now, that doesn't mean he can't start
might take AJ Dillon's,
taking some of those reps. He very well could take AJ Dillon's. Again, money talks. So I love the fact, I think Goody saw the success he had last year. And while all of us on the outside want to see veterans, we want to have those guys, Goody, I think you get to a certain point, and there's no doubt every NFL executive is looking to replace old players. I think Goody thrives on it. I think Goody, this is what gets Goody up in the morning, is finding these young players that are going to be on rookie deals. And if somebody has earned the right to get that second and third guy, we're great. But the third contract, especially with what happened with David Bakhtiari and the injuries, I think it's going to be more and more difficult. The Kenny Clark scenario, now, correct me, I got my little list here of draft picks. And I do not see a defensive tackle anywhere on this list. Am I missing something?
You're not. I would say that the most interesting thing someone other than Goody said was John Eric Sullivan, their vice president of player personnel, who was very, very, very complimentary of Devontae Wyatt, and basically saying that I think he's really going to thrive in this system. And as you know, I have been underwhelmed by Devontae Wyatt. And maybe it was the system he was in, not his ability. So if John Eric Sullivan's right about that, maybe he's your next Kenny Clark, even though they didn't draft this time around a Kenny Clark.
Yeah, I thought that was the big interesting one, because we saw, we knew they were going to go O-line. We knew they'd go safety slash corner. I think they went a little more linebacker. What do we end up seeing here? Two linebackers,
but both early, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a competition, plus the special teams component. It also tells you we got a strong roster, and we like where we're at with a lot of players. No wideout to be found, correct? Not
correct.
A wideout to be found on this list.
No tight ends either.
Yeah, so I think we asked prior to this draft, we'll find out how much Goody likes this group of skilled players. The answer is a ton. The answer is a ton. And now, I'm sure you pick up a couple undrafted free agents that'll come in and compete, but you never listen to what they say. Tell me what they do. And in an ironic twist, Goody did kind of what everybody thought. You need O-line, you need safeties, you need linebackers. Hey, that's what happened. Linebackers, safety, tackles. That's what Goody did. And now it is compete, compete, compete. Let's see where all the chips fall.
For as much fun as we had saying the word subterfuge, there really wasn't any. No. Other than mock drafters, which, again, you know my feeling about mock drafts, other than mock drafters making Packers fans, some, fall in love with Cooper DeJean and think he was the guy, other than that, there was nothing surprising about this draft. We talked about them drafting a tackle in the first round. We talked about them needing safeties and linebackers. I mean, these are all the things that we thought they needed to do, like you said, and that's exactly what happened. And again, the Cooper DeJean thing, as we started the show with, I just don't think they thought that highly of him, because they certainly could have gotten him. They could have traded up to get him somewhere. They could have done anything that they wanted, and they instead were perfectly happy with the safeties they picked, and the fact that it worked out that they didn't draft a corner till the seventh round, they were perfectly fine with that too.
And that also tells you a lot about where they're at with Valentine, you know, the Stokes recovery. We heard some clips from, I don't know if it was Goody or if it was Matt LaFleur talking about Stokes and how good he looks. All that stuff is great. That's all great. But Kalen King is the only corner they drafted. They had opportunities to grab somebody, especially at 41, 48, or 58. They didn't. They went this route. And, again, that tells you what Goody is prioritizing. That tells you what Jeff Hafley was looking for. That tells you that this group said, I feel pretty dang good here. Now, if something crazy happens, and it also tells you, for all the people that picked Cooper DeJean, yeah, he's a nice player, but he's not somebody that we definitely need to have on this roster, and that's why he's playing in Philadelphia.
All right. We have three questions for you today. We will answer them at some juncture, but for those that, sometimes think we go far afield with Soap Cleans Itself, etc., Ed Helms and our Super Bowl preview, this has been from Tausch especially, about as much as you can ask for when it comes to draft insight, and we've got plenty more for the next 2 hours and 39 minutes. But if you came here to discuss the Bucks being down 3-1, probably not going to get a lot of that from our NBA analyst today, Mark Tauscher, but a valiant effort in Indianapolis, especially on Friday night, right around the same time that the Packers were getting ready to select Edgerrin Cooper. I was starting to wonder if those that covered the draft with me were paying attention to the fact that the Packers were on the clock, because it was right around the same time the game had gone to overtime in Indy. So we'll have a little bit of Bucks. We'll talk plenty of NFL draft. But here are the three questions that I want you to think about today. And you can text in your answers, 844-770-3776. One, who is your favorite pick of the Packers 2024 draft? Two, which player do you think will have the most immediate impact out of the Packers 2024 draft class?
Cooper.
I really wish Hopper was Hooper, and it would be Cooper and Hooper, but it's not.
That would be fun.
Who is the one player that you wanted the Packers to take that they didn't? And then our buddy Danny in Chicago wants to know how afraid we are of the Bears. We'll get to that as well coming up. I'm just afraid that if you don't take advantage of Gina Della and what she's got going on with her new deals on Windows, you're going to regret it.
She's got a lot going on, and if you're looking to turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary, well, go ahead. Right now is the time to get your new Pella windows and doors. Luxurious look. Sleek design, custom colors available are guaranteed to give your home the extra pop to entertain and to keep you comfortable. It is the best of both worlds. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home, it's never been easier. Right now, 0% interest for up to 60 months. 0% interest in this economy. Wow, is that something? Again, I had people asking, how the heck can they do it? I don't know, but you better get moving. It goes until May 10th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
More of your draft thoughts and ours next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Taking your texts on the talk and text line for your favorite picks, your immediate impact player, and if there was a player that you wanted the Packers to take that you didn't. Tausch, let's start with your favorite player. Who's your favorite?
Marshawn Lloyd.
Ooh.
I tried telling y'all home run hitting back was going to be a pick. Well, no, I didn't know it was going to go this early, just because when I listened to Mel and all the other folks, it was, it's not a great group from a speed standpoint. You know, obviously Braylon goes in the fourth round to the Jets. Kudos to him, and hopefully you know, he has a nice career. But I think Matt LaFleur wants someone that is grease lightning and that is elusive and is a home run hitter. This kid is. 7-1 a carry. Now, granted, the Pac-12, now if it's the Big Ten, he's getting 7-1. All right. Pac-12, eh. But
aren't they the same conference now?
They are now. If you look at this and you say, well, you know, they're playing these guys, this is that. Okay. But home run hitters are home run hitters, and the fact that his highlight tape, everybody's highlight tape looks great. His looked really good. So the idea of what I thought, not we, of Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs, Matt LaFleur wanted that.
No Mark doubt.
Murphy and Goody did not.
You're right.
This is going to be their opportunity, and it probably will come maybe later in the season. This guy could be a difference maker, and I am super excited that they went and did this, and I'm not mad at all. 88, because, oh, you don't take him. Get it back in the seventh round. You get a stud that could be a monster different. I don't like a first-round pick on a running back, but at 88, Absolutely. Let's give it a run.
Now, again, I don't want to be Mr. Temper Everyone's Enthusiasm, because I agree with you. He's 5'8", but he's 220. Like, he's not, you know, a scat back Darren
spindly.
Sproles type.
He's not a spindly guy.
No, he's definitely not wiry. But, look, when they drafted A.J. Dillon, we all wrote the stories. We all talked about it on the show about how, oh, this guy's a big bruising back. He's going to be a perfect complement to Aaron Jones. If you look at A.J. Dillon's career in his 4 years, he's been okay. But would you say you got the return of investment on a second-round pick with him? Probably not. So
fourth-round pick, I'd be fine with what A.J. Dillon did.
And you always talk about the expectation game. Somewhere in between there is the expectation game now for Marshawn Lloyd, who I'm also, I watched his highlights too. He makes a lot of guys miss, which is exciting. He is definitely a home run hitter. The only thing I don't like about him is his name is Marshawn and starts with an L, because I know at some point in the show I'm going to call him Marshawn Lynch. Just like I worry about calling.
Turns out like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. That'd Rasheed Walker, Rasheed Wallace. I have that same concern there. And Hooper and Hopper. So I got a whole lot of things I'm worried about name wise. But beyond that, you're right. He is a very intriguing pick that I'm not saying he's going to be. I'm not saying he's going to beat out A.J. Dillon for the number two running back job. But he might beat out A.J. Dillon for the number two running back job. And then I don't know if you keep A.J. Dillon on your football team. Jesse, who's your favorite pick?
So when Strofe and I were doing the show on Saturday morning, I said the pick that got me the most excited was Edgerrin Cooper. But the pick that I actually thought was my favorite pick was Javon
Bullard.
Bullard.
Butler, Bullard. No, you
say,
just did it. I'm
I
in your head.
Say, but yes, Javon Bullard is my favorite pick. You get a starting safety late second round after trading back and multiplying the way that Goody did throughout the first and second round. Like, I love that pick. And we know how he loves his Georgia Bulldogs, and some of them have panned out, some of them have not. Overall, I think you feel pretty good about that. A guy who was the best player on the field in the college football playoff semifinal 2 years ago against Ohio State. Like, you're really like that pick. So that is my favorite pick that Goody made in this draft.
All right. Well, we've all got different ones then, because as I said earlier, my guy is Monk, which, you know, he was a quirky detective, and now he is the potential starting center for the Green Bay Packers at some point. Jacob Monk, who, you know, Tausch, one of the guys that our teammate Brian Bulaga really liked was Graham Barton. Played at Duke. One of Jacob Monk's best friends. He's projected as a center in the NFL. He went one pick after Jordan Morgan. He went to Tampa, right? And instead, they took the guy who actually did play center for Duke in Jacob Monk, and they got him in the fifth round. So, again, if he ends up turning into Corey Linsley, we will all be talking about what a brilliant pick that was late in day three. All right. Well, I want to get to some responses on this. I also want to get to who Tausch thinks will have the most impact immediately. I think he already teased it if you were paying attention. But 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, that is the talk and text line if you want to get your thoughts in on this. Tausch, I do want to get to our buddy Danny's question, which is, how afraid of the Bears are you? Because if you're in Chicago, and the way things have gone for a very long time, you get excited about the draft. You get excited about who you've added. And then, oftentimes, once they actually start playing, you end up disappointed. I'm not sure that when you look at this class and what they added to their team, that that'll be the case this time around for Bears fans, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll talk about that coming up. Want to remind you, if you're not a Bears fan, if you're a Packers fan, it's only one bank to join, and that is Associated Bank. They've got Packers checking, which gets you 10% off the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online, gets you your Packers debit MasterCard, and most importantly, gets you the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. So go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. We'll continue the conversation next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
All right, Tausch, do you know how many picks the Bears exercised during the draft?
I guess it was five, right?
Yeah, five.
Was it five?
Five.
Yeah.
Now, one was the Iowa Hawkeyes' most potent weapon, Torrey Taylor, their punter. Their fifth-round pick was a guy that came in for a visit that the Packers liked, Austin Booker, a defensive end from Kansas, who played for Lance Leipold. But it's all about the first-round picks, right? And they got a tackle out of Yale in, I think, the third round. But it's all about Caleb Williams and Adunze, Rome Adunze. Am I saying his name right, Jesse? I wanted to call him Dunzo, which, of course, is your guy.
He'll be Rome Adunze, but it is Rome Adunze.
Adunze. There we go. Thank you. Tausch, to answer Danny's question, are you scared of the Bears now? Who's afraid of the big, bad Bears?
I'm not scared of them, but I think they have done some good things. Obviously, you overhaul the quarterback spot, and you get Caleb Williams on a rookie deal. You get what some people thought was the best wideout.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Harrison, but talent-wise and what you saw from him, nice. They got DJ Moore. They're starting to, but the big thing is they addressed their offensive line last year, this year. And they absolutely fleece the Carolina Panthers. And the best way to get better in this league, Dallas did it way back. The Green Bay Packers have done it with Devontae and with the Aaron Rodgers trade, is you get high-end quality draft picks at the top of these drafts from other teams. That is a quick way and hit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not the Bears are going to hit, we don't know. And
right.
As far as being concerned about them this year, the beautiful part of this, and I thought Rome Adunze, who I believe somebody asked about the Packers, and he's already talking about vomiting and how that all works.
That seems strong.
It just seems to me, and we saw this with Mike Tice painting his house, and Lovie Smith, to his credit, he had some success against
this. He got you guys a couple times.
The beautiful part is when you're in a fan base's and an organization's head to the degree that the Green Bay Packers are, you've already won. So, can the Bears get better and end up beating us? Yeah, at some point. Consistently? Not if Jordan Love is who we think he is. Not if this draft class is good. And not if the guys continue to grow. We don't care. Yeah, it's great. Hey, it's more intrigue for the NFL, but do I want Caleb Williams to be star-spangled awesome? I don't. You do.
I do.
It's okay.
I'm not lying.
And
yep.
It is good for the league if the Bears are better. They were a seven win team last year.
They were.
I don't know if they're going to make a monster jump. I wouldn't. I would bet Las Vegas has them at probably 7.5 or 8 wins next year with a rookie quarterback. But if this guy is the real deal, then we can start having that conversation. But until we see that, no, I'm not remotely worried about the Chicago Bears. This is the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers division to scrabble over and to see who can find a way to get it done.
So before the draft, which obviously now renders this null and void to some degree, the ESPN bet projections, they have the Packers projection at 9 wins. I don't mean to be negative.
That's up to 9.5.
That doesn't seem very high.
It does not.
And they have the Bears. Again, this was pre-draft, and I know we like to use ESPN bet. I'll look at some other spots. The Bears, 8.5.
What?
I mean,
I like Green Bay in that split big time.
Yeah. I'll look to see what some other lines might be for projected wins now that the draft is over. Let's get to a quick call before we keep rolling. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff, thanks for holding on. Good morning. What do you got?
How you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing great. So can I start off real quick by thanking each of you for something, and then I'll give you my comments. Is that all right?
No, just give us your comments. You're welcome for our service.
We can do me first.
Jesse will take whatever praise you've got for him, though.
No, okay, so I am going to thank you. Jason, I thought your question over the weekend to LaFleur about what he learned last year about coaching young players was a great question. Really, really thoughtful. Great question.
Thank you.
I thought it was one of the best questions of the weekend. And Tausch, I want to thank you for your thoughts that you shared on Larry Bechtold. I thought they were really heartfelt. And that is the human condition, and that is storytelling at its best. So I want to thank you for that. That was just really, really awesome. So my thoughts on the week, it was great. So my thoughts on the weekend is, who knows whether the execution is right?
Jesse's over here. Tausch and I are uncomfortable with praise, and Jesse's over here begging for some.
Come on,
I love it.
Jeff?
What about Jeff, didn't you listen on Saturday? I was great on Saturday.
I was really good with Strofe.
Jesse, I love it when you let me talk long.
There you go.
No, I think you do a great job. Jesse, you're the one that drives the bus here, and I think you do a great job.
Right into a gully.
Position to win. So anyways, so this is my thoughts. In terms of the strategy of the draft, I thought the strategy was perfect. They did what they needed to do. Now the execution, you're going to have to wait and see. But I thought the strategy was just perfect. I thought the most telling comment in the whole weekend was by Goody, and it was on Friday night, and he talked about the culture in the locker room now. I thought that was really interesting, and how he thought it was the best it's been now, and how important it was to preserve that. And I thought that was a really profound statement, and I also thought it was a little bit loaded. So I don't know what you guys thought about that statement, but out of all the things that stuck out from the weekend in terms of what he said, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I'd love your guys' thoughts on it.
That's a great question, Jeff. Thanks for all the compliments, and thanks for snubbing Jesse, because that was the best part of that whole thing. Tausch, I actually, when I listened to Goody say that, I was really intrigued too, because, and I wanted to ask you, along with Jeff, bringing that up now, it's all great that they're all, we heard so many times, like, oh, the wide receivers, they're all pulling for each other, and they're competing, right? And that is great. Mm. But does that last? Like, it's when they're all young, and they all start to prove themselves, They can't worry about, I'm not getting mine. They got to have their act together so they can take advantage of whatever opportunity they get. But eventually, all these guys, you always say it, they all have egos. Maybe some are bigger than others. But how do you keep that chemistry and that culture going when you get to points where, you know, maybe, let's just say Dontavion Wicks is getting more targets, and another guy is like, hey, man, I deserve more. I deserve the ball more. I'm not playing enough. Like, that happens on every team, whether you're playing youth hockey or you're playing in the NFL, doesn't it?
It does, and that's the trickiest part of this. And I keep going back to Mike McCarthy saying handling success is the hardest thing to do in sports, because it is. Last year was easy. Everybody scrambling to just make plays and to do it, and the opportunities, while not equally distributed, everybody got their opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Dontavion Wicks becomes the guy that we all hope and think he is, and Jaden Reed, I don't think Jaden Reed's going to come off the field much.
Nope.
It's on LaFleur to kind of figure out different packages to make sure guys are engaged, but it's also about making sure you have identified and communicated the roles that these players have. Guys are going to be irritated. You don't want guys that aren't kind of, well, you know, old boys getting 60 reps, I'm getting 10. I don't like that. You don't want guys that are just willing to say that. But there's a balance of, all right, this is where we're going. It's the be disagreeable without being a jerk. That's kind of how this whole thing works. So it is a really hard thing to balance. And outside of making sure you give guys some reps, different packages that you find for them, it's going to happen. Guys are going to emerge, and they're going to be the guys out on the field when the money's on the table. He talked about youth hockey. Hey, youth hockey, everybody gets their shifts. And then when it's a power play, hey, you put your best kids out there. Hey, when it's money time, the best kids are out there. That's what happens. Sports from youth all the way into the NFL, your best guys are going to get the opportunities. And you have to have enough guys that are driven to not just accept it, but also not be jerk stories about it. And that is not an easy needle to thread. And that's why what's great about this growing together, Jordan Love, as the QB, will be able to help massage some of that. It won't be all, because, again, I look at Green Bay as a whole at the receiver position. Were there guys that were irritated with their catches and their reps? Absolutely there were. Did it get out a ton? I'm sure, Jason, you heard things, but it wasn't coming right from the mouth, at least publicly. And that's kind of how this steers. And the quarterback being the dog and being the leader helps alleviate some of the things that are going to happen. And I would bet this year is going to be a big challenge, because you got five, six guys that are going to be scrambling. And now, well, we got two tight end sets that we like. Oh, now we're going to put in Lloyd, Dylan, and Jacobs, or Jacobs and Lloyd. You know, it's going to be on Matt LaFleur to get super creative, but I don't think you're going to have five or six happy wideouts when it gets to be November. I think it's going to get whittled down, and you're going to see one or two guys, and you have to make sure everybody understands the roles that they have on this football team.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We'll roll on with more of your responses. I've seen Jesse flash a bunch of texts on the video stream. I haven't gotten to them yet. Again, who's your favorite pick? Who's the pick you think will have the most immediate impact? And who's the one that got away? Is it Cooper DeJean? As we talked about early on, I just don't think they loved Cooper DeJean as much as mock drafts thought they loved Cooper DeJean. And it all made sense. Iowa guy, plays a position of need, versatile, best football still in front of him, all the qualities that they seem to value, but it just wasn't someone that they had a high priority to get. Because if they, Tausch, if they really wanted him, they'd have found a way to get him. They had plenty of ammunition to move around the board.
And I think it's pretty obvious, too, they view him as a corner. Because if they had viewed him as a safety and he would have been one of the top safeties,
right,
he probably isn't, you know, he probably's not going as long as he did. So the Packers made it abundantly clear to everybody that was trying to figure things out. They had three or four spots that they felt needed to be either overhauled or loaded up with competition. And they had some spots that people thought they needed. Corner is the biggest one to me, and defensive line. And they thought, we're pretty good here. And I think that surprised a lot of people.
844-770-3776. We'll get to more of your answers next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Star 844-770-3776. If you want to answer our three questions, your favorite pick, immediate impact pick, and who's the one that got away. Jesse, I know you've been curating a lot of text messages. Which ones have jumped out to you so far?
Here's one from Spencer in Minnesota. Favorite pick was Lloyd, the running back. If he gets the fumbles figured out, he should be solid. Fumbled on average once every 36 carries. Tausch, you said this was your favorite, too, before we get to the rest of the text. That's a lot of fumbles.
Yeah, I did not know, obviously, that it was that many fumbles. That's something, you just can't have it. You can't do it in college. And, you know, unfortunately for him, everybody else knows this, and everybody will be ball hunting. So that will be on, now, obviously, him, but the coaching staff and making sure that problem gets fixed. Because for, you know, averaging 7-1 and being this explosive guy and getting out of the backfield and being able to have a fun little toy for Matt LaFleur to kind of move around, if you're going to fumble on that regular of a basis, you cannot play in this league. So that needs to get fixed, or he is not going to be anybody's favorite player.
Spencer goes on to say, funniest thing over the weekend, what's up with LaFleur? During the season, it's pulling teeth to get injury updates. But on Saturday, he gave updates on Stokes, Watson, and even threw out that Enagbare didn't tear his ACL. When you guys brought up the JJ news to Goody, he sounded upset that Matt gave out the injury info.
I didn't think Goody sounded upset. I didn't. You know, he didn't want to get into the specifics of what happened. I'll be honest with you, though, Tausch. I feel like I've done this long enough now. A partial tear of the ACL is still a tear of the ACL. And I don't think... thank you, Dr. Pat McKenzie, for telling me that. But the bottom line is, if it's not, and they might not have to have surgery, I'm sorry that you are an expert in this field, Tausch, because you had two of them. But what could it be? Because I left that more confused than I had been going in, because J.J. Enagbare, Kingsley, if you don't call him by J.J. the jet plane, told us after the season, yeah, I tore it, quote.
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly maybe it's not. How is that possible?
So, you know, for me, my first one was a partial tear of the ACL, and it was early in my career. So the problem is, most of your ligaments will scar back over. MCL, PCL, they scar. And sometimes it's bad enough that you still have to go do something. I have never heard of an ACL re-scarring. When you tear it, the instability is what everybody freaks out about, and that causes other issues. So I don't know what it could be. Maybe it was just so minor, and he was able to build things up that they feel he'll be stable enough that he doesn't have to go through that process. But it would be one in very few. Now, guys have played without ACLs. Hines Ward did it. I can only imagine where he's at, knowing how my knee feels, how his feels playing 12 years with no ACL and all that bone on bone rubbing. But
he's really struggling at pickleball, from what I hear.
I don't know what. Yeah, I know I am. So Enagbare, that obviously is something that he and his team, along with the Packers staff and whomever else, looked at it. Maybe they came up with that solution. And hey, great for him if that's the case. But I would be very leery. Again, I'm not going to be Twitter doc, dude. All I can tell you is an ACL tear is an ACL tear.
All right, 844-770-3776. I'd love to get to more calls and more texts in the 10 o'clock hour. Your favorite pick, the guy you think will have the most immediate impact, which Tausch and I need to revisit because we didn't get through all that part of that conversation. And then who got away? Who are you disappointed that they didn't take if there was someone in this draft that you really liked? We'll get to that. You're right, Tausch, you're not a Twitter doc. You don't know enough about medicine to be able to be that. You know plenty about Coors Light, though, and I feel like that you're very qualified on.
I am indeed. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill the mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans. They turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.